I'm going to start with the same verse that John started with. Romans chapter 5, verse 5.
It's all falling apart.
Except he missed out the first bit of the verse.
Oh, yeah, didn't
you? You did?
Everything.
And hope. Yeah. And hope does not put us to shame.
Yeah.
Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In 1994, that was Toronto, wasn't it? 94.
Yeah, yeah.
There was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Toronto. And I went there a few years after it had started and loved it. And we in our church, we got affected by it as well. And it was wonderful. But when I went to Toronto, I realised that we'd missed the point.
That's it.
And the church, well, the UK press got hold of it and called it the Toronto Blessing. And, all what we wanted as a church, right across the country was we wanted the Toronto Blessing. But when I went to Toronto myself, and I saw the banner across the back of the church, I realised we'd missed the point. Because the point wasn't Toronto Blessing. The point was the Father's blessing.
Come on!
The Father was pouring out his life into the church so that we would be renewed and refreshed. And what he was doing was he was pouring his love into our hearts. That's through the Holy Spirit. But we just kind of went for the Holy Spirit, which is great, and fun, and we loved it, and the church needed it. We needed the refreshing. After about 3 or 4 years, our church said, right, we've been refreshed enough.
Yeah.
Let's get on with the business. And I have to tell you that the Holy Spirit left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a wind that will blow where he wants to blow.
Yeah. Come on.
And the moment anyone tries to control it, him, he's out.
Yeah.
And our church said, we have been refreshed for 4 years. Now we need to get back to the business. And people have left the church. It is really, really sad. Because it wasn't the point to bless us. Well, it was the point to bless us. But it was more than that. It wasn't just a refreshing. It was an impartation of the love of God into our hearts so that we would become and live as sons and daughters.
That's it.
The whole point of this message is that we walk as Jesus walked.
Yeah.
That we walk as a son or daughter to our Father. I mean, James Jordan, he's been sort of, living in this and teaching this for 30 years. And for a long time, he just thought it was all about healing our hearts. Which it is about healing our hearts, but it's not all about healing our hearts. James came to realise that it's actually about being a son and living as a son.
Yes.
And having the heart of sonship, having the same heart that Jesus had. And, that's why it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
That's why it's not just a little river of blessing to make us all feel good. This is a lifelong river.
Yeah, come on.
Because it's walking as Jesus walked.
Yeah.
It's living our lives as Jesus lived his life, in complete relationship with the Father. And the Holy Spirit is all about connecting us to the heart of the Father. And, I love the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I want more. I'm just putting that on record. I want more. But I think we've done the Holy Spirit a disservice. Because we've treated the Holy Spirit like a toolbox. It's like a goodie bag. You know, the Holy Spirit has got all these wonderful gifts. And we've come to the Holy Spirit and said, I want the gift of prophecy. I want the gift of teaching. I want the gift of healing. I want the gift of this, that, and the other. And it's like there's been this box of goodies at the front. And yeah, we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, we desperately need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's kind of like we've, because our hearts have been disconnected from the Father, and we've been living a life as orphans. You know, it's kind of like, what can I get out of the Holy Spirit to make me look good? You know, what can I get out of the Holy Spirit to make my ministry look good? What can I get out of the Holy Spirit to make my church look good? And in John chapter 14, Jesus says something that almost looks completely out of context. And it's not covered in any of the commentaries. And, you know, there's Jesus is talking about the way, the truth and the life, and him going back to the Father and sending the Holy Spirit. And right in the middle of chapter 14, there's verse 18, where Jesus suddenly says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What does that tell us? That tells us that Jesus thought his disciples were orphans. He'd spent 3 years with them. He'd spent 3 years showing them what a relationship with the Father was all about. And, you know, they weren't necessarily physical, natural orphans. You know, we know James and John had a mum and dad. They were the sons of thunder. And we know their mum came up, you know, this is an orphan thinking. Hey, Jesus, my boys are good. I just want to look after them. You know, can James, can he sit on the right? And can John sit on the, you know, the left side? You know, they're my boys. I want to look after them. You know, there was, you know, we talked about Simon and Matthew. Can you imagine the orphan-heartedness in them? You know, they were fighting each other because they were on opposite sides of the social structure. And Jesus says, you know, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And a little bit later in chapter 14, he says, I'm going back to my Father and I'm going to send another comforter. He uses that word, another comforter. That means he must have been the first comforter. He says, I'm going back to my Father and I'm going to send another comforter who will be with you always. And when the Holy Spirit comes, and Jesus explains in John chapter 14 that when the Holy Spirit comes, we will know that the Father has made his home in our heart. John 14, 23. Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father and then we are coming back to make our home in your heart. It's the heart again that John was talking about. He doesn't make his home in our minds. He makes his home in our hearts. And it's through the Holy Spirit. Because Paul writes in Romans and Galatians that the Holy Spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy. It's a really intimate word. You know, my kids, when they're having a bit of fun, you know, they come into the room with a sort of serious face on and they go, Father! You know, they never call me Father, you know, apart from when they're just being, mock serious or silly. You know, they just, Father! And then but normally they call me Daddy. Because that's who I am. You know, I'm their dad. And Jesus says we've got the Holy Spirit within us that connects our heart to the Father's heart. And the Holy Spirit in us that John was talking about that has been poured, not trickled, but poured into our hearts. The love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that our hearts can cry, Abba, Father. You know, God, you really are my dad. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, God, you really are my father. You know, the God of the creator of the universe, the great almighty God who holds all things in his hands. He just happens to be my dad. And he's your dad too. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive a spirit that connects us to the Father. But when we're living as orphans, the Holy Spirit is just a toolbox or a toy box full of goodies. You know, yeah, we desperately need those. I'm not putting them down at all. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the fruit of the Spirit. But we need it as sons and daughters. I just want to show you a little illustration. Can I borrow you two? I need you on this side.
This side.
That's Jenny, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to imagine. Aren't they a nice couple? I want you to imagine that I'm the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I want you to imagine that Jenny is the Father and Ollie is just.
Just Jesus.
Just Ollie. No. No.
Oh,
not
no.
Jesus.
Oh, jumping the gun.
No. Ollie is just us.
And I'm in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Father.
Yeah. But you see, it's like.
Sorry.
Maybe this is the wrong couple to get to help me.
Wrong half of the couple.
Yeah, can you just go over there a little bit? Yeah. Can you just go over there a little bit? See, this is what the Holy Spirit's like. You see, the Holy Spirit is like a bridge. See, remember, I'm the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes hold of us. Can you be my microphone holder? I'm going to run out of hands.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit takes hold of us. And the Holy Spirit is connected already to the Father. And the Holy Spirit becomes this bridge between us. Yeah. The Holy Spirit becomes this bridge. Thank you. Don't stick it in there.
Simple tasks.
The Holy Spirit becomes this bridge between us and the Father. Actually, that's not going to work. Can you just put it a bit further away? But you see, the Holy Spirit... No, that's not going to work either. I'm just going to have to talk loudly. The Holy Spirit is this bridge between us and the Father, but the Holy Spirit is an elastic bridge. Because what it does is it draws us...
You married the last woman.
The Holy Spirit... <It's hopeless. laughs> The Holy Spirit draws us... Mm-hmm. To the heart of the Father.
Wow.
And it unites us. That's why I got a couple, you see. The Holy Spirit unites us with the Father. It's not a bridge that keeps us apart. It's a bridge that is elastic and draws us together.
That's nice.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank
that,
you.
So when Jesus is saying in John chapter 14, he's saying, I'm going back to my Father to send another comforter. He's sending this elastic bridge that draws us right into the heart of the Father. But the amazing thing is that Jesus says, we're coming back to make our home in your heart. Now, I'm the only person that really knows, apart from God, I'm the only person that knows what my heart is really like. You know, you think I'm a really nice guy, but I know all the rubbish that passes through my heart. You know, Fiona knows me really well. You know, she knows often what I'm thinking. She knows often what I'm going to say next. She knows what I like. She knows what I like doing. She knows where I like going. But she doesn't know everything about my heart. See, I'm the only person that knows my heart. You know, Ollie is the only person that knows his heart, apart from the Father. He knows what, I'm sure nothing bad passes through, you know.
In the last 5 seconds, anyway.
You know, he knows the attitudes and stuff that pass through. You know, it's the same with Jenny. You know, she is the only one who knows her heart. And yet God says, that's the very place I'm going to come and live. That's the place I call home. You see, there's this mystery that our home is in his heart and his home is in our heart. And it's kind of the oneness and the intimacy of the relationship that we have. That we're in Christ, in God. And he's in us. You know, it kind of gets complicated if you try and explain it. So I'm not going to. But, you know, God's home is in our heart. He has chosen to live in your heart. And I just think, wow, Father, you're so good. Because I wouldn't choose to live in my heart if I was God. You know, but God says, that's the place I want to be. That's my home. And when we talk of the Holy Spirit, you know, I want us to talk of someone who connects us with the Father. That enables something from the depths of our heart to cry, God, you really are my dad. Most of us just cry, oh God. But we can go, oh God, you really are my dad. Because the Holy Spirit connects us and draws us together right into the heart of the Father. That's what Paul was writing about when he said the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But he starts off that verse, you know, hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not put us to shame. And many of us are hoping for this intimacy with Father. Many of us are hoping and longing to get to know Father better. Well, I want to know Father better. You know, that's the cry of my heart is, oh, Father, I want to know you better. You know, I just don't feel I've begun. And it's like, oh, Father, there's so much more of you I want to know and understand. And it's like, I'm hoping and trusting and longing for that. And Paul writes that that hope will not be disappointed because God continues to pour his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-off experience. You know, when we pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we kind of think the sign that they've received it is they start speaking in tongues. Well, you know, maybe it is, but it actually doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I think the sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is that we begin to live in love.
That's it.
Yes. That we live in love. Because that's what Jesus talks about when he talks about the Holy Spirit coming. Jesus says two contradictory things, which is really unhelpful of him. But when we understand what he's saying, it makes perfect sense. In John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus says to his disciples, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. You know, when your kids have birthday parties, and they all come round and you've got your children and then you've got their friends. And their friends will ask your children, you know, can you ask your mum that I can have some more ice cream? You know, can you ask your dad if we can watch the DVD? And the friends communicate with the parents through the children, don't they? You know, they don't feel confident enough to ask for themselves. So they go, hey, ask your mum if I can have some more chocolate cake. You know, ask your mum if I can have another biscuit. And so your kids have got the relationship with you. So they're hey, Mum, can so-and-so have more ice cream? Hey, Mum, can so-and-so have more biscuits? And it's like the communication with the friends is through the children. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, if you want anything, just ask me as your big brother. If you want something from God, just ask me. I'm your big brother. I'll go and talk to Dad and it will be sorted. That's what he's saying in John chapter 14. And then he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to introduce you to the Father. You're going to have the Father living in your heart. You're going to have the same access and relationship to him as I've got. And then in chapter 16, just over the page, Jesus says, chapter 16, verse 23, he says, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Hang on, Jesus. Two chapters ago you said we can ask anything of you. And now he's saying, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Why not? Because whatever you ask the Father for in my name will be done. You know, Jesus says, you don't have to come through me anymore. You can go straight to the Father yourself. You can go straight to the Father yourself. Anything you ask the Father in my name, he will do it for you. And he gives us the answer to you know, many of us say, well, why? How does that work? In a couple of verses later, in verse 26, Jesus says, in that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. You know, we can go straight to the Father because he loves us. The Father himself loves us. That is just so amazing. Talked about it last night, but I'll just mention it again. It's the end of chapter 17 of John's Gospel, Jesus' last words before he's taken away. You know, Father, I want these people to know that you love them exactly as you love me. See, that's the Gospel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the Gospel. Jesus says at the beginning of chapter 14, I am the way, the truth and the life. Jesus became the way for us to come to the Father. You know, Derek Prince wrote an article just before he died, and he said in that article, he said, I've been stuck on the way for 50 years. I've been stuck on the way. He said, if Jesus is the way, where, what or who is the destination?
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Where is this way going to that Jesus talks about? You know, Jesus says, I am the way to the Father.
Yeah.
And we so easily get stuck on the way.
Yeah.
We so easily get stuck on the Holy Spirit. And both the Son and the Holy Spirit are saying, hang on. There's another person. It's the Father. And Jesus is opening up the doorway for us to know the Father loves us. The Father himself loves you. You know, we... In 1 John 4, verse 16, it says, we've come to know and to believe or to rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. It really is possible for us to live in love. It's not a theory. It's not a concept. It's not something that's out there and unreachable. It really is possible for us to live in love. For us to live every day of our lives in love. Now, it's a growing thing, you know. It's like we just live in it and grow in it and walk in it. It's not a one-off. We need to be constantly baptized in the Spirit.
Yeah, come on.
Baptized in the Spirit of love.
Yeah.
So that we learn to live in love. When John writes those words in 1 John 4, we've come to know and believe. He's not talking about words that affect our mind. He's talking about experiential words. We've come to know that we know that we know that we know that we know the love of God. We've believed it because we've proved it time and time again. And we can live in love. We've mentioned Romans 5:5, but Romans 10:10. It says it's with your heart you believe and are saved. It's with your heart you believe. I read a novel of, it was a crime detective thriller about a year ago, and the guy writing it, the author, he spent 4 or 5 pages of this book describing what happened in a split second. You know, the goodie, the hero, was in this room, and the baddie came in the back door with his gun out and was about to shoot him, and the goodie reacted and solved the problem. And the author describes what was going on in the mind of, you know, the goodie, the detective, the hero. And he took 4 or 5 pages to describe what this guy was thinking and how he was going to react to it and how he was going to, you know, counter what was going to happen. And it literally happened in a split second, because the mind has the ability to work really fast. You know, if I'm in a meeting with a client at work, I can be talking to the client, but I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next, and I'm thinking about the various tax laws or whatever that might be appropriate, and, you know, my mind is going very fast because we have the ability to process a lot of information in our minds, don't we? And they live at a pace. But Paul writes that it's with our hearts that we believe and are saved. And one of the things I've come to realise is our heart works at a slower speed than our mind. You know, our heart operates at a more leisurely pace. And if we're going to learn to live in love, we've got to live at the speed of our heart. And that means we might have to slow down. Because our minds are going so fast that we're always on to the next thing. But it's with our hearts that we believe. It's with our hearts. It's in our hearts that God has poured his love. And so if we're going to live in love, we've got to live from our hearts, which means putting the mind in neutral sometimes. That's quite a challenge for some of us. But it means slowing down. And it means saying, how can I, you know, how can I do this? In Exodus 38, Moses basically says to God, I need some help. You know, God has said to him, you're going to lead these people. And Moses looks at them and thinks, oh God, you know, I need some help. And he says, who's coming with me? And God says, my presence will go with you. And Moses says, oh, thank goodness. I'm not going anywhere without your presence. And sometimes I think we rush off and kind of leave the presence somewhere else. You know, we desperately need help. You know, we're like Moses. I need help. Come and help me. And God says, my presence will go with you. And Moses has the wisdom to say, okay, I'm going to wait and see where your presence goes. And if your presence doesn't move from this place, then we're staying put. But if your presence moves, then we'll move too. We need to be like that. We need to be like that. To rely on his presence. Sometimes, if we're going to live in love, if we're going to live from the heart, if we're going to slow down, sometimes we have to say a little word that's very hard sometimes to say. And that's the word no. We're very good at saying yes. Who can do this? Who can do that? Who can do the other? Yes, yes, I'll do it. You know, and in the church we volunteer and we get worn out. You know, we become good servants. And God wants sons and daughters. And sons and daughters, they just sit in the living room and put their feet up. That's what my kids do anyway. Yeah. You know, they come home and they sit in the armchair. They put their feet up, they kick off their shoes. We've got three daughters and they must have about 1,000 pair of shoes each. You know what it's like? The hall is full of shoes. They just sort of kick them off and then roll on the sofa. You know, they're at home. They're not busy, busy, busy. When they're at home, they're at home. And they rest. And God doesn't want us to be busy, busy, busy. And, you know, he loves our serving hearts. He loves our serving attitudes. But sometimes we do have to be able to say no. Say, you know, Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians that God has created good works in advance for us to do. The problem is we spend our lives doing everybody else's good works. Yeah. And we wonder why we get worn out and tired. There are good works created by God beforehand, and they've got your name on them. Please stop doing everybody else's stuff. Not only does it wear you out, but it denies them the privilege of being able to do it. So, you know, we had a situation in the office. My business partners are Christians. We had a situation in the office the other week where we had a really good idea of something we thought we could be doing. And we were talking about it one Friday lunchtime, and I kind of thought, this is a really good idea. I wonder who's going to do it. Because it didn't have my name on it. So I said to my two colleagues, I said, this is a really, really good idea, but it doesn't have my name on it. You know, does it have your name on it? And they looked at each other and said, no, it doesn't have my name on it either. So we decided that's a really, really good idea that we're not going to do. We've left it. Now, if it comes back to us and it's got someone's name on it, then we'll do it. But, you know, ask the Father. Father, what are the good things you've got prepared for me to do that have got my name on them? And just do it. Don't do anybody else's stuff. We're brilliant at doing good ideas. But God wants us to do the works that he has prepared for us to do. If we do those, there'll be peace. There'll be rest. Another thing, you know, if we're going to live in love, one of the other things we can do is just take time to worship. You know, obviously John's great at it. He just sits with his guitar and sings and worships. Some of us, like me, are not such good singers. But we can still worship. Because worship is nothing to do with how well you can sing. Worship is to do with a heart that says, Father, you're so good. And I love you. And I just want to be in your presence.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, when my kids come home, we just sit around the table for hours. Just talking. Why? Because we like each other's presence. You know, God wants his kids to enjoy his presence. And worship is just enjoying his presence.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to sing.
No.
You can just go for a walk in the park.
No.
You can look at the flowers or the trees. You can look at God's creation and just go, wow, Father. How did you manage that? How did you manage to make every tree so different? Wow, you really are a good dad. I guess you could probably walk around a shopping centre and go, how did you manage to make so many different kinds of shoes? Maybe not. But, you know, we can worship God anywhere. We can worship him on the bus, in the car. I've kind of found that when I'm worshipping God in the car, the level of, or the intensity of my worship is directly related to the pressure that my right foot exerts. A year ago, in May last year, I was driving up the M40 up to Birmingham, and I suddenly realised it was the 10th anniversary of us being in Toronto. And I just started to worship God in the car. And I was just singing, and I was just thanking God for all the good things he'd done over the last 10 years in our lives, in our family's life, and what he'd revealed to me and what he was showing me, and you know how much more there was. And I was just having a wonderful time in my car. And I looked at the speedometer and thought, whoops. And very quickly decided that cruise control was a good idea. But, you know, we can worship anywhere. And I would really encourage you that if you want to grow in living in love, that you just find times and spaces and ways to worship. You know, outside of church meetings, just you and Father.
Come on.
You know, worship him in church meetings as well, but don't limit it to that. You know, worship him on your own. It doesn't have to be hours. It can just be a couple of minutes. Standing over the kitchen sink, in the shops, at the checkout, at the petrol station. You know, when you're filling up your car with petrol, you can say, oh, Father, just fill me up at the same time. Not with petrol, but with love. You know, it's just like... You know, it's just... We can do it. We can worship God anywhere.
Come on.
You know, living in love is not unattainable. It's the destiny of God's children. It's what he has for each one of us. And just as we finish, you know... It kind of feels like we've tried to pack a lot into a weekend. But, you know, God's good. And, you know, I hope you've seen something this weekend that says, yes, you know, I want the love of God to change my life. This is not a book you put on your bookshelf. It's not, you know, oh, tick, I've done the Father Heart thing. You know, I've been to a Father Heart weekend, tick, I've done it. You know, next week I'll go on to sort of prayer ministry and tick that box. And then I'll go on to, you know, dancing in worship and tick that box. You know, the Father Heart message is the basic gospel. And it's the bookshelf on which all other books sit. And that's why it's a lifelong thing. That's why one conference won't do it. But hopefully the weekend can introduce you to the Father. And you can realise that you're loved like Jesus was loved. And we can begin to grow in living in love. Jesus said something in Matthew 18, I think it was. And he gave us three keys. Because I think his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, this is one of their orphan moments, who's the greatest in your kingdom? You know, I suspect John and Peter had been having a little argument, you know. John was the one Jesus loved. And Peter was the one upon whom the church was going to be built. And, you know, I can imagine them having this little dispute. I'm greater than you. No, I'm greater than you. You know, they come to Jesus. Who's the greatest? And Jesus just bursts their bubble. He took a little child. He didn't say, oh, Peter is the greatest, or John's the greatest, or you're both great. He just took a little child and he said, the greatest in the kingdom is one of these. He said, unless you change, humble yourself and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. Those three things are the keys for us entering this life of love. Change. Actually, the word that is used is not just change, it's conversion. It's complete turnaround. It's like you're walking in this direction, and God says you've got to stop and walk in that direction. You've got to walk in, you've got to live your life completely differently. You've got to change. The second thing he said is you've got to humble yourself. And us guys, we're not so good at that, are we? You know, we're proud and arrogant most of the time. But Jesus says you've got to change, you've got to humble yourselves. And you've got to become as a little child. Not childish, but childlike. That's what this is. This is childlike. Childlike simplicity, communicating love. I thought that was brilliant. You know? And you know, we're so sophisticated. You know, our whole education system trains us to get our act together. James Jordan says, well, when you've got it together, just remember it's only an act. You know, we invest a lot of time and energy in getting our act together. Well, it's only a performance. And Jesus says, just come as a child. Just have a childlike simplicity and dependence on me.
Mark.
John.
You're fat. No, you're not.
I've been working really hard on that.
I do.
You're a shocker. I love this guy. Oh, I'm going to finish. I'm just going to play a song which talks about us coming with a childlike attitude. Let's make it a prayer and then over to you.
Okay.